Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
Time now to learn of the goings-on from all around the world that haven't reached the front pages. And our guide, as ever, is Jonathan de Burke Butler. Jonathan, how are you today?
Tom, how are you getting on?
Very well indeed.
Good.
Your first story, two things I would never put together in one sentence. Well, three things. Namibia, Iceland and fishing.
Yes, absolutely. It's a mark of our globalised planet, I suppose. Yeah. And how far corruption can go in that globalised planet. It's an extraordinary story, really. It involves two government ministers, or at least so far it involves two government ministers and the CEO of Iceland's largest fishing firm called Samherji, okay? So those three people have resigned, right? Now, the ministers were not, you know, low-level ministers either. They were the Minister for Fisheries and the Justice Minister in Namibia. And really, they've resigned because they've been caught in a scandal that looks to be priced at around 70 million euros, okay? Two prongs to that. The first part is a 7 million amount of money bribe, effectively, that was given by this company, this Icelandic fisheries company, Samherji, to the Namibian government, okay, for access to unfettered fishing rights.
Okay.
All right? So that was given to them first. That's the first thing that we've discovered. And then we discovered that the proceeds from those catches were siphoned off to the Marshall Islands to the tune of about 64 million euros. Norway comes into the picture as well. It's believed that about half of that went through Norway's largest bank, 40 or 50% of which is owned by the state of Norway. So this is a massive scandal.
How did it all come to public knowledge?
Our good friends in WikiLeaks, if that's the way you feel about them, they issued or released about 3,000 documents pertaining to this particular scandal, which seems to have taken place mainly between 2014 and 2018. That's the documents that they have. They released those documents, and then a magazine wrote a feature on it, and then there was a television company in Iceland as well who did a feature on
right.
it. So there's been big outrage about
bottom
this.
Line, Iceland needed fish. Namibia had fish.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. And you see, there's another aspect to this, which is the fact that there's, you know, the depletion of fish stocks in the Atlantic and everywhere else is leading people to go to other places. Mm. And there's vast resources down in this part of the world, which
right.
people are trying to tap into.
I saw that one-fifth of Namibia's MPs hold shares in the fishing
yeah.
companies.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
What does it say?
Yeah, it
says a lot, doesn't it? Tunisia. And an odd case of sexual harassment.
Yeah, this is a man by the name of Zuhair Makhlouf. He'd be middle-aged, I'd say 40s to 50s, somewhere thereabouts. He was an MP, and he still is, in fact. I don't think he's lost his job, for a party called Caleb Tunes. That's a very recent party. Their presidential candidate is currently in prison, actually. He's kind of the Berlusconi of Tunisia. He's in prison at the moment. He ran for the presidency and he came second. So the party would be well known for controversy already. So this won't have helped. This particular individual, Zuhair Makhlouf, was caught in a car with his, shall we say, leg apparel around his ankle
yeah.
and his penis in his hand, and he wasn't using it to send a text message effectively.
All right.
And this was recorded outside a high school by a young lady who then sent it out on the internet.
Was she in the car?
She wasn't. She was outside the car, and she basically has accused him of sexual harassment. She is 19, and he said he has a medical condition and he was urinating in the car.
In the car?
Yeah, which seems a bit bizarre, to be honest with you. And if you look at the pictures, and I've seen some of the pictures, I didn't have the pleasure of looking at the video, but there are screen grabs and the like, and it doesn't. His facial gestures don't suggest that he's urinating.
All right. So beautifully put. Some of the controversy here is the fact that he might be able to claim some kind of immunity.
Yeah, so there's an immunity clause. Article 68 of Tunisia's constitution provides that no sitting MP can be arrested or tried for their opinions or for actions taken in connection with their parliamentary duties. Now, obviously, you know, sexual harassment or sexual impropriety has nothing to do with that. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's the phrasing of it.
It's very open.
Actions taken in connection with their parliamentary duties. That's a fairly...
It's fairly broad.
What an action to try and say was in connection. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
This sounds very interesting in Japan. And it's the possibility of a four-day week.
Yes, so this was an experiment that was done by Microsoft in Japan. So they decided during the month of August that they would give their workers, this was just over 2,000 regular workers, the Friday off, and they would pay them and see what happens. So they monitored the situation and they came back with some very interesting feedback. They found that their output, that their productivity had increased by 40%, would you believe? Which seems quite extraordinary.
It's hard to believe, yeah.
Yeah, it does. There was other measures that they took with that. So they basically said they encouraged people, instead of having meetings and sending emails, to use a kind of a chat tool, yeah. I suppose like Convo or one of those things that you have on your phone, or maybe even WhatsApp or something like that.
That's basically face-to-face though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is that kind of thing.
It's a digital face-to-face.
It's a kind of digital face-to-face, but you're having conversations in real time.
Yeah.
So I suppose there's no delay and that kind of thing. I know companies who use it,
yeah.
and it works very well, actually. Then they also limited the amount of time that you could spend in meetings and the number of people. So they said half an hour in meetings and that's it, and only five people per meeting, right? You can get all of that done, what you need done in that time. So there was all sorts of other things. They noticed that there was a 40% increase in sales per worker, a 58.7% drop in the amount of paper that Brilliant. They used, and a 23% drop in electricity consumption as opposed to August of last year.
Sounds like win-win.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
but so are they going to go ahead with
it? Well, it's interesting. Microsoft have said that they're not going to go ahead with it. They might use it on and off in the future. But it's got a good bit of coverage in Japan because, you know, they work pretty hard there. And they're
famously.
And the governments are looking at ways of trying to, you know, sort out their work-life balance for them.
Yeah, if you could do, you kind of think you could. You could do it in 4 days if you put your mind to it.
Oh, I'm sure you could, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah, idea, yeah. Just putting it out there. In Australia, this sounds like a dark enough little story.
Yeah, it's not great. It's took place in an isolated town with a population of just about 800 people, a place called Yuendumu, which is actually in the Midnight Oil song Beds Are Burning. The famous song. So it's mentioned in that, but it's a very isolated place in the Northern Territory, and it involves a 19-year-old Aborigine who was shot 3 times by police. Okay, now the policeman involved is a 28-year-old man by the name of Zachary Rolfe, and he's relatively new apparently. And he has been charged. He was arrested on Wednesday and he's subsequently been charged with murder. Now, the union that basically look after the police are saying that he is going to plead guilty. And there's an investigation. He's not going to plead not guilty. He's going to plead not guilty. An investigation has been launched into this. So,
Does this kind of stuff happen often? I'm thinking of Black Lives Matter in America. Is it a kind of an issue there also?
The life of Aborigines in Australia is very much an issue.
Okay.
It's crap. Yeah. Okay, compared to everybody else.
And dangerous.
To be honest with you, and dangerous. I mean, this is the second incident, I think, in the last couple of months where a person has died in custody. Now, this guy was shot 3 times for resisting arrest, so it seems that it might have been a bit excessive, to say the least.
He was also brought back to the police station where there was no medical care.
Yeah, and this is the thing, because, I mean, this is a town with a population of about 800, and the people who were supposed to be the Northern Territory health officials said that the medical clinic in that particular town was unstaffed due to safety concerns about break-ins. Now, by the time a medical practitioner got to the town, the guy was dead. And his family was told 10 hours later.
It
kind of stinks, to be honest with you, doesn't it?
Yeah. The Cook Islands, they're tiny, aren't they?
Very small, only has a population of about 18,000 people. And their visitors' numbers are, you know, far outweigh that. They get 168,000 visitors.
Where exactly are they?
They're not far from New Zealand.
Right.
In the Pacific there. So they get a lot of...
Captain Cook Land, indeed.
A lot of visitors from New Zealand. So they get about 61% of their visitors come from New Zealand. And their economy is based on tourism and travel. And I don't mean backpackers. These are people who spend, you know, 8.5 days on average on the islands, and they come from the United States, Canada, Europe, using lots of money. Okay,
yeah.
So there was recent call for the drafting of a new crime bill amongst some politicians in the Cook Islands who are looking to basically clamp down on non-existent gay rights in the Cook Islands.
So they're already non-existent.
So they're already non-existent. So there was a law brought in 1969 when the British were there, which basically said that male acts are illegal, female acts are not, which happens quite a lot around the world. I don't know why, but anyway. But a couple of years ago, they were going to redraft that crimes bill and they were going to take that piece of the legislation out, right? There was an election in the meantime, things changed, and now they're redrafting it again in 2019. And what they want to do is double down on the male interaction being illegal and also introduce female interaction being illegal. So various different rights groups in New Zealand have got wind of this and have called for a boycott on
the
Cook
Islands. Coming from? Because it looks like it's a small island in the middle of a very liberal world. Its closest port calls are Australia, New Zealand, and a lot of tourists coming from.
Yeah, it's coming from apparently the head of a select committee, a guy called Tingika Elikana, who has said that the clause would remain and that he also wants to bring in, he wants to outlaw female homosexuality. So it's coming obviously from some politicians or other. So
strange.
This is hopefully it'll make them think twice.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Chile, this is interesting. Lots of trouble there at the moment, but they're thinking of a new constitution as a way out.
Yes. So the president there, Sebastián Piñera, he hasn't been there for too long, but he's been in trouble in recent months. Basically, all of this trouble started off when there was price hikes of 30 pesos, which is about 3 cents. On rush hour public transport, okay? And students went out and protested. Cut a long story short, it got out of hand. And since the beginning of this month, about 20 people, over 20 people have died and over 1,000 have been put in hospital. So the government have come back and they've basically said, okay, look, we'll look at the various different problems. We'll look at, you know, doing things around pensions, reforming pensions, and we'll bring in an increased minimum wage. But we'll also bring about a referendum on the constitution, which the protesters were calling for. So that's going to happen over the course of the next few months.
Because previously it was Pinochet's constitution.
He was gone in 1990. Then they sort of messed with it a little bit around the edges, but it wasn't enough. And so they're looking to redraft the whole thing. Really.
Finally, this US doctor removing organs is another dark tale.
It is, as they often are in this slot, Tom.
Yes.
This is Dr. Javed Perwas, who's a 69-year-old obstetrician gynecologist. He's been caught doing things that he really shouldn't have been doing. I won't go into the detail, but let's just say he removed things that he shouldn't have been removing. Yeah. And it happened a lot, and it's been happening, it looks, for a long time. So there was one part of this article of this story that really struck me. According to the criminal complaints, between 2014 and 2018, the doctor operated on 40% of women patients who receive Medicaid. Okay. Now, of that group, which was 510 patients, 42% of them had at least 2 surgeries performed. Now, I was looking at this line in the article and I was saying to myself, why are they including that? And then it dawned on me, he was inventing operations to perform on these women so he could get money for it.
God, incredible. Yeah. To get money for it.
Yeah.
Oh, and
quite a poor history.
Great.
Good that he's taken out of the system.
John, thank you very much, always, for that. You can listen back to the podcast around the world on newstalk.com/Moncrief. Richard von Emmon will be talking to us about his new book, Missing, later in the show. But first, quick break.